Welcome to the Authentically Successful Show After Hours, where my co-host Rob Swimer and I share our two cents on hot topics in the business world. Rob is a veteran sales leader in high tech, best-selling author, resilience coach, and speaker. And I'm your host, Carol Schultz, longtime professional recruiter and executive coach, the creator of talent-centric organizations, and also a best-selling author. Combined, we have 70 years of experience in this world. So let's get into it. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, Carol.
In case anybody listened to our first show, I'm still getting over a black eye from my stallion. So hopefully by the third episode, I will be free from the shiner underneath my right eye. So last week, I read an article that I shared with you in Business Insider called Gen Z Has Discovered the Ultimate Anti-Layoff Hack, Government Jobs. I just thought it was fantastic. And I thought it was really important that we should talk about that. So, and we both have a lot to say on this, but I kind of want to start with you and see really what your thoughts were after reading this.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know where to start, but yes, I read this a couple of times, and each time I got more more concerned. And I'll tell you why. It had nothing to do with government. It had nothing to do with the article itself. It was more about the attitude of what's going on. You know, I am a mental health disruptor, as you know, and this is right in the wheelhouse of, you know, what are we really doing here? What are we really talking about? Are we holding back from what we really are passionate about? What lights us up? You know, what's our purpose? What's our why? It's all the things that I talk about on stage when I speak around the world. And everybody needs to find their purpose. They need to find their why. And, you know, the settling of, you know, a job for anti-layoff for that purpose is not going to get you there. It's not going to put you in the position where you are lit up and that you are finding and moving towards your purpose. Everybody needs to do that. They have to settle back and assess what they really want to do in life. I just had a conversation with my boy, and you know, he's in corporate America, and you know, he says, you know, I'm not really that lit up about that. I'm not passionate about it. What I'm passionate about is taking pictures of nature. And he's a hiker. And I'm like, you know what? That's where you need to go. Find a way to do that. Because if it lights you up, then you're going to be passionate about it and you're going to love what you do. And it's not going to be a job. And that's the real cool thing. We hear that all the time. But Carol, this is an ultimate example of, you know, let's just settle for, you know, one aspect of I'm not going to get laid off. And the reality is, look, I got a few gray hairs, as I said last time. You're going to look back 30, 40 years from that, and you're going to have some regrets. You're going to have some why I wish I should have, could have, would have. And I'm just concerned about that with the Gen Zs. I think that, you know, this article is a testament to that mindset that, you know, I'm on a personal crusade to get rid of, right? So for me, it really hit hard when you sent this. It really hit me hard, and I feel like I really need to voice that, and that's what my mission is. That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Do you think I sometimes feel like Gen Z has just been coddled by their parents? And I know, you know, you don't have any Gen Zs. I don't have any, right? But we may see other people's Gen Zs or interact with them if we go out to a restaurant or, you know, wherever. Yeah. I'll never forget. I was a buddy of mine. Sold hay. He grew hay and sold hay. And back then, I went and picked up a whole boatload of hay. And you know, he must have been in his late 60s at that point. He and I were hauling, they must have been 62 to 65 pound bales into the back of my truck. And I said to him, I'm thinking to myself, why are we doing this? Why don't you have any helpers here? And he said, I cannot tell you the number of high school football players. There was a big high school across the street from where his property was. And he said to me, we'd hire football players and they'd never show up after lunch. They wouldn't come back after lunch. I said, what? He goes, yeah, they don't want to work that hard.
That's a shame. That's a shame. Yeah, you do hear those stories. You really do. And I think it's, you know, I don't know if it was coddle. I don't really know what it was. I think that the reality is I did a story on News Nation recently. They brought me in as a expert mm-hmm. for mental health, and one of the articles there was the lazy girl's job. The generation is looking for a job that they just need to do 9 to 5 and that's it. Mm-hmm. Clock in, clock mm-hmm. out. It goes back to, you know, you talk about loyalty. I want you to put this in. A lot of it could be this too, because you've got that talk right. track, and I know you're going to talk mm-hmm. about that, because that's really important, is, you know, the loyalty for employees to the employer and vice versa. And I think one of the things that I cited with that one was, again, is that really your purpose? Is your purpose in life, is your why? If I asked you what your why is, why you're here, the legacy that you want to leave yeah. this world, is it that I clocked in 9 to 5? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think that any generation wants to make an impact. And I think the Gen Z, the millennials, they want to make an impact. Mm-hmm. They want to be this person. Right. There's no doubt. They get a lot of bad press. They mm-hmm. get a lot of bad rep, where they're lazy, or they don't want to work, or they don't want to do this, so they don't do this. And, you know, the reality is, I just think they need the guidance. Yeah. I think they need the purpose. They need that why. And they've got to have the tools to be able to find that. And that's what they need.
Well, I think you're exactly on target. And I think what's missing for them is, you know, people have asked me, and I discovered this, you know, in the early years of my coaching training, which was, you know, started in 98. And, you know, what for me was, you know, what drives you? And for me, at that point, I discovered that, and it has always been the opportunity to make a difference, right? That's just what drives yeah. me. You've got whatever, what drives you. And I think what might be missing with this Gen Z and millennials is they're not sure, maybe they don't know what drives them. Yeah, I mean, I think that's related to the why, right?
It is. And I said this in the first episode, and I'm sure I'll say this in every episode: transform your personal life,
yeah,
please.
Yeah.
And then you will transform your business life or whatever mm-hmm. else you want to do. You have to be a student of your game before you can influence and inspire and empower others. You've got to do that for yourself. I learned that the hard way, you know, and I've been a student of my game now for over a decade. I certainly wasn't before that. And there's been a huge difference in my life because of that. And that's what these generations need. Everybody needs that. It's not just Gen Z or millennial. It doesn't matter. I mean, I was a student of my game in my mid-50s. So it's not just young people. I think what you've got to do is you've got to go inside, and you've got to transform your personal life. And that's what we need to do. We need to go to those, personal development seminars, yeah. or listen to those podcasts, or get into that game of what you really want to be like and what you want to leave as a legacy. That's the key. And all this won't be a factor. That'll never come up. I can tell you that I've never, ever in my life said those words, hey, I'm looking for a job that I can just clock in 9 to 5. I think it's really important. And it's not because we're different. It's not because we're mm-hmm. older. It's not because they're Gen Z or millennial or whatever they are. It's all because the personal development isn't
correct.
There. So that's why I tell people, please work on your mm-hmm. game.
Yeah. You know, so you mentioned, we talked about loyalty, and this is one of the big things that they're suggesting that's driving the Gen Zs and millennials into government jobs, right? Is that, you know, loyalty, they're saying loyalty to one's employer is in the toilet. So yeah. I want to talk a little bit about loyalty and tell you a story.
So, yeah, please do.
In 2001, IBM acquired Informix. Anybody who's listening to this that knows software that's old like us will remember that. Anyway, and I was having a conversation. It was after the acquisition. I was having a conversation with somebody I knew in the business. He was a first line sales manager for Informix. And he was telling me the story after they were acquired. He said he was at 130% of his annual number. Okay. At yep. acquisition.
Right.
IBM acquires them. They readjust his quota. Now he's at 80% of his annual quota. And he said to me, but Carol, I've been loyal to them. And it was like an epiphany. I can't believe it was 23 years ago. I said to him, you know, John, which is not his real name.
Yeah.
You know, companies are only going to be loyal to you insofar as it suits their needs and interests. Consequently, right. You should only be loyal to them insofar as it suits your needs and interests. Now, before I get hate mail, let me put a caveat on that. That does not mean every time you see a job ad or a headhunter calls you that you should be looking for a new job. Okay?
Yeah.
It's sort of the CYA attitude, cover your ass.
Yeah.
And I mean, we all lived through, I mean, he was shocked when I said that to him, but I'm like, but that's true. That's how it is. Companies, especially publicly traded ones, okay, I'm gonna beat them up a little bit. They really answer to Wall Street.
Sure.
Okay. As a consequence of answering to Wall Street and being punished with a poor stock price, what do? They lay people off, they get them off the payroll. Getting those people off the payroll shows better financials. So what now happens? Now they get rewarded with a higher stock price.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're going to solve that problem in this conversation. But I think that it's so important to really look at and be clear about when you go to work for certain types of companies, this is something that could happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's happened to everybody. It's happened to me. It's happened to everybody. And I think the reality is that you have to be ready for it. You have to build that resilience muscle.
Yeah.
So when that happens, you don't just fold like a chair. You know, you can thrive after. Mm-hmm. Right? We've all been there. I mean, I'm not too proud. I mean, my career of 40 after four decades. You know, you don't think I've been laid off or let go? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not. That's just life. But I do want to point on it, and I want to see your opinion on this. I want to point to the fact that I think we have to be mindful of being advocates for ourselves too within the company. And I think a lot of the people that I coach and I train, they will say things like, well, you know, they never asked me if there was something else I wanted to do in the company. What I really wanted to do was X.
Yeah.
And I never got any feedback like that. And I'm like, you know, and by the way, this is transcending every generation.
Yes.
This is, I'm not saying this, but I'm past that.
Yeah.
This is everybody. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I always ask is, well, did you tell somebody that you wanted to move to marketing?
Yeah.
Or did you wanted to do the next level of leadership? And how do I get, no, they never came to me. And I think that one of the things that I really stress with my clients is to make sure that they are an advocate for themselves. I always cite, I'll tell you a quick story. When I just retired, obviously, you know, from Splunk, I was there for 11 years, 11 and a half years. And at one point, I was at a kickoff meeting in mid-year in August in Phoenix, Arizona. And the CRO, of course, was there and they were all there. And I was walking through the lobby. And he was there, just sitting there, and so I obviously went over, shook his hand, and in a period of 30 seconds, I said, "Hey, you know, I love my job. I'm so happy and grateful for this job. I was a mid-level manager at that time, and I said, I'm just loving it here. Thank you for the opportunity." And I said, "You know, if there's ever a time that you need my skill set, you know, hey, I'm always looking for something else. I'm a growth mindset kind of guy. It's like if you need my skill set, give me a call. I'd love to explore." As basically like I'm walking. I mean, I didn't even like, you know, it wasn't a big deal. It was like 2 seconds. 2 weeks later, I get a call. And a month later, my wife and I are in London and doing a preview trip. Yeah. And 2 months later, I'm running that country as the group vice president of the UK and I. And that was a 30-second conversation. You don't have to overthink this. This is not that difficult. Be an advocate for yourself and put yourself out there and say, "Hey, I really want to get to, you know, I want to be able to get to the next level. Or I want to do this. How do I do it? What do I need to do in order to do that?" That's the key. And all this stuff goes away.
You know, and Rob, that's actually really putting a point on the first conversation you and I had is about, you know, when somebody takes that job, really having those, you know, knowing what are the specific and measurable results I need to do to perform, you know, exceptionally, right? But part of that is, what do I need to do to move up the food chain or to move wherever I want to move within, you know, within the organization, right? So that's, you know, and I think that's really, really important. And I have to wonder, you know, back in the day when I was prepping people for interviews, and then eventually when I started, you know, doing leadership coaching, and that also included career coaching, right? So, which I of course still do, but you know, people say, you know, gosh, I have so much trouble asking for, you know, X. So, yeah. You know, that always goes back to what's standing in the way for you, right? Let's find out what's in that blind spot and what's keeping you from asking for more money in the negotiation, right? It was always easy for me to negotiate on somebody's behalf because I wasn't emotionally attached.
Sure.
I think often when people have to advocate for themselves, they're emotionally attached to something, right? And when you're emotionally attached, it can lead to sort of negative consequences to yourself, not from anyone else.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, again, that commitment of moving forward in the face of, no, sorry, we're not going to do that for you.
Yeah, exactly. Look, emotions leads to motion either way,
right. Either
positive or negative, wherever those emotions mm-hmm. are. And what you're talking about is limited beliefs and how you have to break through those limited beliefs, right? And those limited beliefs come to us as when we're little, like babies, and all the way through. So we're born with some of those limited beliefs. That's just the way it is. And we have to break through those limited beliefs and be an advocate for ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's like we talked about in that first episode, making sure that, you know, you're a lifelong learner and that you're getting and you're searching out mm-hmm. that feedback. But for me, you know, the other thing is proximity is power, right? So you want to hang around with the people you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to make sure that, you know, you are in the room. And I always say this, when I was in a meeting, when I'm in a meeting now, I never want to be the smartest guy in the room, you know, and that's just the way it is. I want to be playing up one, two, even three levels, cause I want to learn, from all those people in the room. And I think that's something that, you know, if you're going to do that, you've got to have certainty and conviction too in your own beliefs, right? So that goes back to the personal development, transforming your business life, and just as much as a personal life. And you've got to be able to do that.
You know, you talked a bit ago about building that resilience muscle. Just say a little bit more about that for somebody who they're hearing this for the first time.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, that's really sort of what I speak about all around the world is how you build that resilience muscle. And Carol, and you know this, you're not born with a resilience muscle. That is developed over time, depending upon what you've gone through in life.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have is I have a formula, actually, that you can go through your adversity, you can conquer that adversity, not just survive, but thrive. Mm-hmm. And as you do that, you stack that adversity and you build that resilience muscle. I often relate it to going to the mental gym. And that's how you build that resilience muscle, because at one point you're going to need to call on that muscle. And I certainly have enough examples in my life where I did. But if I didn't go through the adversity that I did younger and through my years, I never would have developed that muscle so strongly in order to be able to just, like I said, not just survive, but thrive with the world gives me.
Yeah. I don't want to slip past the original topic of this conversation.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, the ultimate anti-layup hack of government jobs.
Yeah.
We've talked about a lot of other things and how those relate to this, but I want to talk a little bit about that specifically, government jobs. And, you know, I don't know how to do this without really beating up on government jobs, right? I mean, you know, who wakes up and aspires to work for the government? I don't know, somebody who's not motivated. Really, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know either. I mean, you know, and then there's
broken.
A part of me that's like, I mean, but then there's a part of me that there's got to be some amazing jobs out there that people are really making a difference in the government. You know, and I have a family member removed that's a, you know, an admiral, and he's been at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got to believe that what he does
makes a difference
in the world. And, you know, so I think that it's like any other company, a corporation, right? Government is a corporation, if you will. If you look at it that way, there are jobs within the government probably that could be really cool.
Right.
What we're talking about is, you know, discovering the anti-layoff,
right?
Just, you know, going in with that totally different mindset, which is that's just I mean, I just got to put it out there. That's just
wrong.
Crazy.
Just wrong.
I mean, and I don't want to get hate mail either, but I'm telling you, that just doesn't work, in my opinion. Hey, maybe I'm wrong, but.
Well, and you know, and of course, neither you nor I have ever had a government job, so we really can't speak from experience. I mean, all I can do is, you know, make an assertion, right? I have to wonder that, you know, somebody who may take that government job, maybe thinking 2 or 3 years down the road, boy, there's a lot of red tape in here to get anything done.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And
maybe, exactly. Maybe I can't get anything done. Or, you know, and the other side of that is somebody who just really realizes I can't worry like this all the time.
Right.
So, you know, a government job could be great for me. I, you know, I'm not as concerned about making, you know, huge money that I might in the private sector. That doesn't mean I'm not going to work really hard, but at least I'm not going home every night worried. Am I going to get laid off tomorrow because, you know, our stock price went down because of this, that, or whatever, and now they're, you know, having company-wide layoffs.
No, there's a couple of things there. One is self-care, mm-hmm. and it could be, and I'm all for that. If there is a person that, you know, needs to throttle down and not have that crazy stress, and that's what they've found as a way to do that, that's great. Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful for self-care. My issue is that shouldn't be the only thing they're talking about. I would love to have seen this headline as Gen Z has discovered the ultimate way to make impact.
Yeah.
Government jobs.
That's such a great point, Rob.
You know, I mean, why not go into it with a whole different attitude? That would be a great headline.
Because it's the media.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's about headlines.
Well, it is all about headlines. We know that. And I've been involved in media enough to know.
Mm-hmm. How do you get eyeballs?
Yeah, it got our attention. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, but I'll tell you what. From my perspective, just a little footnote for the media if they're listening, I would have clicked on this if Gen Z had discovered the ultimate way to make impact, government jobs.
Yeah.
I would have clicked on that too, mm-hmm. so I'll leave you with that.
Well, there you go. All right, I got nothing more. I don't know about
I'm good. No, I'm good. After hours, we're out.
All right, see you next time. Thanks for listening to Authentically Successful After Hours. I'm your host, Carol Schultz.
And I'm your co-host, Rob Swimer. Hey, don't forget to click follow to hear more. And please leave us an honest review and rating so we can continue to improve and bring you more great stories.
Thanks again for listening and see you next time.